I saw her at PAX with her boyfriend, and he gave her butt a squeeze, and I was like, oh.
Wait, you saw her at PAX?
Yeah, she came to PAX, the Penny Arcade Expo in Seattle last weekend.
Nice.
And I was going down the escalator, and I was like, oh, that's iJustine's boyfriend, I guess, right? Because they were being all smoochy and stuff. And then he puts his hand on her cheek and squeezes it. And I was like, okay, definitely not her brother. Unless they're from Kentucky. Such things are legal.
That's the kind of girl we need to get on this hair show.
I didn't even hear what it was, and it was funny.
Hello and welcome to the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm here with two very good-looking gentlemen, Leander Caney. Hey, Leander.
Hey.
Editor of Culta Mac. I'm well. And Alex is back with us as well. Hey, Alex.
Hello.
Alex Heath, I should say your last name.
Yes.
I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. We're back to talk all things Apple, and this will be the last show you hear before we have a new iPhone next week.
Dun, dun, dun.
We've been talking about this. I swear we've been talking about this for 4 months. So it's going to be exciting to see what Apple actually does.
About this for like 2 years.
Well, yeah. I think 2 years ago we were talking about the iPhone 4S. Don't you think?
No, iPhone 5 was last year.
Oh, that's right.
Everybody thought the 4S was going to be called
what we're getting
5.
This year. That's right. I remember that.
Yeah, that's
a
good point.
That is a good point. Yeah. And everyone was super deflated when it came out. Everyone was like, what the hell is this piece of when the 4S came out? You remember how disappointed we all were? We're like, what is this thing?
I know, that was crazy, wasn't it? Because all the pundits were like, this thing is rubbish, but it was the best selling, you know, to date, wasn't it? It sold, how many did it sell in the first weekend? Like 100 million or something?
I think it was 1.2 trillion.
1 billion. Yeah. It was a billion.
Yeah. Well, it's because, you know, China, they had, they bought some, and there's like a trillion people in China, right? I'm pretty sure.
Well, this one is going to be really crazy. Isn't it? That's why there's been all those parts leaks, because they're making so many of these for this launch. What was the estimate that came out today, Alex?
Well, they're saying like something like 6 to 10 million in the first month.
Month? So like, the first weekend.
I thought that was the first hour.
I think it's at least 10. It might be the first week. It might be 6 to 10 million in the first week. I think that's what Gene Munster said.
Gene Munster.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy.
That guy's a beast.
He's a monster.
He's a monster. He's an Apple monster. I remember when I was on, I think it was Bloomberg, and I didn't know who I was going to be on with. And all of a sudden, they're like, oh, by the way, you're going to be speaking with Gene Munster. And I'm like, perfect. This guy has like every Apple statistic memorized. Yeah. And then there's me. I'm like, well, here's how I feel.
We should get him on the show.
That's a good point, actually. We should. Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
We should try to get him on the show. But hey, we're getting derailed. Let me just say this real fast before we continue. This show is brought to you by the fine folks of DigiDNA, makers of Discade 5, the iPod, iPhone, and iPad transfer tool for PC and Mac. We're going to be talking about them later in the show. And if you've been listening for any amount of time, I'm sure you've heard me talk about them before. I really love their software, and we're going to tell you how you could win a license for free and get a 30% off discount code if you want to buy it for yourself. But before we jump into all of our iPhone stuff, guys, can we talk a little bit about the Amazon announcement today, Leander? I know you're a huge Amazon fan.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, you were telling us before the show, you're like, we got to talk about this Amazon stuff. We got to talk about it.
Because so, this looks like the first real competitor to the iPad.
Yes, I mean, doesn't it? Okay, so yeah. For those that don't know, Jeff Bezos went up on stage today and they announced a refreshed Kindle Fire, which is, you know, Amazon's color tablet. It's like kind of like an iPad, but not really as powerful. And they introduced, kind of two new models today. They updated their regular Kindle Fire. So it's faster now. And they actually lowered the price. It used to be $199 and now it's $159, which is dirt cheap, if you ask me. And then they introduced a Kindle Fire HD model, which is faster, and it has a near retina quality display, and they're going to be selling that in a 7-inch model and an 8.9-inch model, which I find very strange. I mean, I don't understand really why would you sell a 7 and a 9-inch model? Aren't those two pretty similar?
No, because they're doing, you know, they've got like the, they're doing exactly what Apple did with the iPod, which is, you know, differentiating the line, having a sort of device for a, at a range of prices.
Yeah.
And sizes, you know, so like you've got the small 7.9-inch screen, which is actually really, that's actually a really good size for a media tablet. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to carry around. You can almost put it in a pocket. You can definitely put it in a large coat pocket, and you could probably stuff it in the back of a jeans pocket. And then the you know, the
big ass pockets.
My big grandpa jeans, anyway.
And, you and got a tablet in your butt.
did you see those jeans that came out with the big the big iPad pockets? Someone was actually trying to sell those at one point. And
I've got the some.
Alex is literally wearing them right now.
Okay, with your iPad. And then, of course, they had those shirts.
No, I got
Alex, what?
They sent me some. They sent me some.
Well, put them on.
Yeah. I wear them every day.
Well, Leander, you were saying?
Yeah, the 8.9-inch is, you know, iPad size. It's almost the same size as the iPad, right? So this is probably going to be the little more, the kind of more serious tablet.
Right.
And, you know, and it looks just like, you know, it's like a little, it's almost like the iPad. It's just a little bit stripped down. It's a lot cheaper, $299. Mm-hmm. But it has, you know, an HD display. And the $499 one, that looks like the really interesting one because it's 32 gigabytes and it's got 4G LTE. And the really clever part is the data package. $50 for a year of data.
Yeah, that's great.
I think that's just genius. That is just brilliant. That really is a clever idea. I mean, you know, like Samsung and Motorola came out, Microsoft Lumia yesterday. You know, people were talking about how it makes animated GIFs out of
which
video.
Which is actually pretty cool.
Well, I don't who in their right mind is gonna say, you know, it thinks that's a differentiating feature.
I know that's something that's cool, but it's not something that would make you buy a device.
No.
I don't think.
Oh, no. But a $50 1 year data package really is.
Wow, it really is, especially in this day and age. If you've been following me on Twitter, you know how much I bitch about carriers. I'm furious about
certain things right now,
and they charge so much for data.
Yep. Yeah. No, but this is really clever. I mean, this is what shows Amazon is you know, like, this is Apple's only, you know.
Samsung's
in the phone space, but in the tablet space, Amazon's the only one who's bringing anything fresh to the
table. Well, I was reading that the Kindle Fire has, as far as the tablet market goes, about 22% share of the market, which is huge, right?
Yeah.
And I think what Amazon has that Samsung doesn't really have is the ecosystem. I mean,
right.
Amazon has an amazing ecosystem that most, at least American people, are already a part of.
Right.
Because you buy so much stuff from Amazon, right? And they're going to have their own app store and everything. And this thing seems like a great product. I mean, we're going to have to wait to actually see it, you know, in person. Because I know the last Kindle Fire, people had a lot of complaints about its usability. But, you know, Amazon's going to figure that stuff out eventually. And
yeah.
The fact that you can get a $500... Kindle Fire, this is the 8.9-inch model, and it includes the LTE radio inside of it. So you have an LTE tablet for $500. Like, that's pretty appealing even to me. I mean, my LTE iPad, what?
Is it 100 less than the iPad?
I think it's actually 130 less than the iPad. So it's significant. I mean, right? Yeah, it actually is because the iPad's $500. If you add the radio, I think it goes up to $630. But I also believe that this model. Oh yeah. Oh, because here's the other thing, that Kindle Fire is actually 32 gigabytes. The one with the LTE radio.
Yeah.
$500. So that would actually cost you $739 for the iPad equivalent. That's a huge savings. I mean, does that tempt you guys in the slightest, Alex?
No, I mean it does. It's a good. I mean, it's a great competitive move. I think Amazon's about to get its. Well, I think everyone's about to get their world rocked in October when we see whatever is going on in the iPad department.
Mm-hmm.
But because if Apple comes out with something that's sub 300 and it comes with LTE, that's just gonna. That's gonna just neutron bomb everyone else. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You're just gonna blow their faces off.
So, and like I'm looking at this, you know, you can get the $200 7-inch tablet, but you know it doesn't have LTE. It's 16 gigs, which is nice. But, you know, if Apple comes out with a 250 iPad mini and it's got LTE and it's got, you know, maybe not Retina display, but a good display and all this stuff that the iPad is known for, I mean, that's just going to be... That's like a no-brainer.
You've been following the rumors, Alex. Is it rumored to have LTE? Because no one's actually seen any parts of this, right? So
no. Well, you're right. We haven't seen a lot of parts, which is really typical for a brand new product like this. But it is rumored to have LTE. It's expected to have LTE. At least, you know, I'm thinking, you know, what if they did like 250 Wi-Fi and then a 300 LTE?
That is tempting.
Or something along that lines. I wanted to, real quick, what you said, Irfana, earlier about Amazon and their ecosystem and how that's one of their biggest draws, that they have this almost Apple-like ecosystem, which is really true. Mm-hmm. What I wanted to see out of this event today was I really thought Amazon was going to find some way to offer the cheapest Kindle Fire for free with an Amazon Prime subscription. I really thought they were going to make that happen because that would be just killer, in my opinion. You know, you've got that $80 a year Prime subscription, and I'm a Prime member. And how would Amazon, you know, how much more would they be able to flood the market if all of a sudden they were like, with Prime, we're going to throw in our $200 tablet? So you've got this 7-inch device for consuming our media and our content. I think that would have been a really smart move, and maybe they would have had to take a hit up front. But that would probably help them in the long run. So I wish that would have happened. But otherwise, I mean, I think the hardware's nice. I wish Amazon would have done a little more.
Oh, interesting. I wonder if they'll ever give away a Kindle for free, at least with the Prime membership.
Seems like they could. I mean, companies do it. You know, companies will, you know, take a hit on hardware because they're, you know, wanting people to buy into the ecosystem. And if that's what Amazon's really trying to tout right now, seems like the smart thing to do. Because Prime's awesome.
They're gonna make it up on media, though, right? They're gonna make it up on what the content they're selling for that.
And, right.
I mean, could they do that? Because they're cutting ebook prices really aggressively, and they're not making much money on ebooks, right? So, you know, can they sell? To subsidize the cost?
They've got their video and their music and Prime, you know, Prime is for them, you know, Amazon is more than what Apple can do because Amazon is also, you know, ordering a bunch of stuff. It's Prime. So they get deals there, and they don't have probably Apple's 30%. You know, Apple's got a really high margin that they take off. But I'm sure it would help them in the long run. But maybe not. Maybe the numbers weren't there this year. But
interesting. The new Kindle Fire is shipping, I think, next week, right? I think the 15th, they said.
Yeah.
We should soon know. What's that?
You got to give it to Amazon. At least they announced the price and the release
date. Oh, my gosh, dude. Yeah, kidding.
They're a disciplined company.
Golly.
Bezos is a very smart cookie, isn't he? I mean,
he is. He really is. That's crazy. I remember.
Did you hear that someone was telling me about Amazon that they don't give free food or those other kind of perks you get at corporate headquarters? You know, massages at your desk and nice food and stuff like that. Apparently, they don't do any of that. There's none of these kind of employee perks. They pay pretty good salaries, but there's none of that kind of, you know, that sort of Google like. Perks that you get from going to the campus.
No, that's true. They definitely pay well. Amazon is in my hometown, as you guys know, and I've been to their headquarters several times. They just built brand new headquarters. Beautiful, beautiful buildings. So I know several people that work there, but the thing about it is, I heard working there is actually pretty tough. Like, they work their people really hard. Mm. But they do pay you well for that. And I actually don't even think you get a free Prime membership. Yeah. I don't think you do, because I just assumed you would.
Sounds kind of like Apple, doesn't it?
Yeah. So let's move on. Let's talk about the iPhone, guys.
iPhone? What iPhone?
There's a new iPhone that we've been talking about. It's finally coming out. You know, it wouldn't surprise me, Leander, if you were serious.
I almost forgot about it. I made all these dates next week, and I'm like, what am I thinking? It's the iPhone's coming out.
Well, before we talk about the iPhone, one last quick thing, which is iPhone-related, and that is Samsung is excited because they finally outsold the iPhone 4S. And in the month of August, that is, they sold more phones than Apple. And I was thinking about this, and I was like, this is funny. They're really excited about this. You know the reason why they sold more than Apple, right? Because everyone's waiting for the iPhone 5. Yeah. Everyone knows that it's coming. We've been talking about this for months. Everyone stopped buying Apple devices. I don't think Samsung sold any more than they normally did. It's just that all of us that usually buy iPhones have been waiting.
Right.
So finally
Yeah.
Exactly. So we finally have a date. Apple released their media date for September 12th. They put out another clever little invitation that had a 12 with a shadow of a 5. Let's talk about this for a moment. I almost think it's silly that we talk about this because everyone's wondering whether or not they're going to name it the iPhone 5 or the new iPhone. I've been talking with people on Twitter about this, and some people were thinking they were going to release, you know, 5 new Apple products, and that's why the 5 was there. Some people were saying it's because this is the 5th anniversary of the iPhone, and I was like, that's actually pretty good. I could see that. Because a lot of people are like, well, it's going to be called the new iPhone because we got the new iPad, right? Leander, what do you think? Is it going to be called iPhone 5 or the new iPhone?
I've got a clue.
You got a 50-50 chance. Just guess one. You'll probably be right.
I think it's going to be called the iPhone 5. I mean, they've used the numbers in the past, and even though it's actually the 6th iPhone, it doesn't, you know, no one... the general public is unaware of that and couldn't care less either. Mm-hmm. And it makes total sense. I mean, they're not going to jump to the iPhone 6 and leave the 5 out, are they? I mean, you know, they, in skyscrapers, they don't have a 13th floor, and they get away with that all the time. So I can't see why they can't do that with the iPhone.
skipping the 5 and going straight to 6 is a Microsoft move.
I feel like that's
something Microsoft would do.
Right.
Alex, what do you think? No.
This is tricky. You know, Apple plays with us, I think, especially with these invites. And, you know, I really would not be surprised. I'm 50-50 either way.
What?
I
really?
Wow. Oh, yeah, definitely. This is the 5th anniversary of the iPhone.
Yeah.
So what you could get is Apple going to celebrate the 5th anniversary of the smartphone that changed everything. We're taking it back to the beginning. Here's the new iPhone. Huh. I mean that's a perfect bait and switch. Like, it's not. I don't think.
You actually sound like Sam Cooke right there. Same accent, same intonation.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So
you need to drone on a bit more. Like, take it down a level.
We're going to double down on secrecy, y'all.
I think that's verbatim how he said it. But, I think he looked at the camera and winked. With his mouth open, big old wink.
But I think this does exactly what Apple wanted it to, and it's everybody, at least those of us who call ourselves informed Apple followers, knew, you know, all everyone said it's going to be the new iPhone. They're not going to do iPhone 5. That doesn't make any sense. It's not the Apple way. It's the new iPad and the new iPhone. And Apple's got us thinking now for this next week. You know, they're like, I think this is really smart on their end, because now all of a sudden we got a bunch of people writing about now it's the iPhone 5 again. And right. then the event's gonna come along, and they're gonna be like, remember that?
They could have put out an invite where there was actually, you know, a plain white,
just nothing on it at all.
Exactly, like the Beatles' White Album, right?
And nothing, yeah,
that would have even more speculation. It doesn't really matter. But you know, I think they got to keep a number there because they've got two other models on the market, right? So if someone goes in and says, "I want the iPhone," and then you know the dumbass at AT&T is gonna be like, "Well, the iPhone 3, the 4, or the 4S, or the new one." So
the new one.
Well, they had this problem.
That's
with
easy.
When it came out, it was like, yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know if it was a good idea calling the iPad the new iPad.
Well, I think you look at numbers, and the new iPad has sold like gangbusters. So I don't think Apple.
So I guess doesn't it cause confusion though when people talk about it's much easier to refer people say, "What iPad you got?" and it makes natural sense.
No, I totally agree with you. Like I mean I deal with a ton of people who come up to me every day and they're like, "So the iPhone 5, like everybody just assumes it's the iPhone 5 because 4 comes before 5, and even though it's the 4S, and so people expect the 5. But if Apple thinks the phone delivers enough in and of itself where it doesn't need that 5, that exciting 5, and this is just the new iPhone because it really is that new, why can't you just ride on that? And why, you know, I think it would take maybe a few seconds for the consumer's mind to switch and say, okay, so this is the newest one, the best one.
It goes
along with the iPad, but you do have a point with the fact that they do have, you know, I think they're going to drop the 3GS, but they do have the 4 and the 4S on the market. So I don't think it's too confusing, though, to have, here's the 4, it's free with the tier, or $20 with the tier carrier contract, here's the 4S, it's $99, and here's the new iPhone, and it's $200, and it's got all this.
But Alex, what about in 3 years, where they're like, where all the models have been replaced by the new iPhone, and that's the lowest model, right? And they're like, well, you can buy the new iPhone, or you could buy the iPhone for $99, or you could buy the iPhone for $200, or you could buy the new iPhone for $300. It's like, they're all going to be called the same model. Isn't that confusing?
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, that down the road, it is something to think about. So yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it's 50-50. I think there's really compelling arguments for either one.
Well, let me give you guys another nugget for thought here. So there's a writer named Horace Didu. I'm sorry if I'm saying your name wrong, Horace. And he wrote Didu. Didu. It's not Didu. It's definitely not Didu. It's D-E-D-I-U. So maybe he's French. Maybe it's Didu.
Well, he's a Simcoe, and he's pretty well known.
Okay, so he wrote an article describing why it would be called the iPhone 5, and I kind of agree. And basically what he said is with the iPad, they had to kind of call it, they had to distinguish between the iPad and the iPad mini, which is coming up, just like they did with the iPods, right? They started with one device and they did a kind of like a brand extension and or product extension. Now they have different products, and there had to be a way to differentiate which product was which. Not so with the iPhone, right? Because there's just one iPhone. There's not going to be different models of the iPhone. So with the iPhone, he says they're going to continue calling it with a number system. So they're going to call it the iPhone 5. That way, when they release the next model, they can call it the iPhone 5S. And with the iPad, they had to call it the new iPad because they're going to be coming out with the iPad mini. That logic makes a lot of sense to me. What do you guys think? Don't jump over each other.
Did we just go through this and every permutation?
Okay, well, that's what I think then. I think we're going to get the iPhone 5. In fact, I'm almost certain of it. And if I'm wrong, then I'll just
the one thing that does puzzle me is that they never did this for the iPod, right? The iPod every year was updated, and it was just the iPod,
right?
Mm-hmm. And then when they differentiated, it was the iPod Mini, the iPod Classic. Well, that's
Leander, that's because they didn't keep multiple generations.
Yeah,
on the
exactly. I mean, they have 3 generations of iPhone on the market at any one time.
Yeah. If they're going to keep the old models on the market, then it's going to be the iPhone 5. Case closed. Yeah.
Case closed. There you go. Hey, one last thing about the iPhone. So, Alex, I think this might have been you that posted that video of the iPhones being booted up, and one was supposedly an iPhone 5, and one was an iPhone 4S. Was that you?
It was John.
Okay. Well, anyway, in the video, the guy started the 2 iPhones, and the iPhone 5, which was, we don't know for sure if it was an iPhone 5, obviously, but it booted up first. So it looks like we're going to be getting a faster chip in the new generation iPhone. Now, historically, Apple has usually put their best and fastest processors in their iPhone. So the iPhone usually gets it first. Do you think that we're going to get an A6 chip in the new iPhone, or are we going to get the same old boring A5X chip that they've been putting in the new iPad? What do you think, Alex?
I don't think they need the A6, but at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised.
You don't think they need it?
No, listen to me. The A5X that they put on the Retina iPad powers that thing really well, and that powers a Retina display 10-inch tablet. Mm-hmm. So why? Well, that's also because they upgraded, they did quad-core graphics. So if you put A5X and quad-core in the new iPhone for a smaller screen, it's going to power it just as well. I mean, they could do the A6. Sure. We haven't really seen anything about the logic board or the processor. So I think I don't really care. I just know that it's going to be faster, and that's what Apple's going to say. I don't think it really matters as long as it's faster, which it will be.
That's actually an interesting point. But the A5X is faster graphically. It's not faster computationally. So, I mean, it would be as fast as an iPhone 4S if they just put that chip in. What don't you think?
Yeah. Well, no, because the A5X isn't in the iPhone 4S.
Right.
So no, I don't. There would be a difference. It would be a marginal difference, but of course it's going to be better. I mean, this is the rule of the iPhone, right? Each new model is going to be faster. Camera's going to be better. It's going to be faster, harder, better, stronger, whatever. So,
I can't even imagine how they're going to make the camera better.
Oh, did you see what Nokia did with the Lumia?
By putting that ridiculous 40 megapixel camera in there?
Well, no, it was the you know what I'm talking about, Leander? That breakthrough.
Yeah. I saw that they cheated on their video.
Yeah, they cheated on the video, but
for the image stabilization. But no, I didn't see the details of it. People were raving about it though. Said it looked really good.
Yeah, something really cool with the camera. And that, what they did is they had a guy with a shoulder mount and a nice like DSLR in the back of the van, and they pretended it was a Nokia camera.
This was an ad. I mean, you know, what do people expect? Yeah. Really, it was a pretty good catch by The Verge. It's pretty funny. Yeah.
Cool.
No, hey. But the camera is good on the 4S. I'm actually more worried about the.
It is good, but it could be better.
It's the LTE chip. That's what counts, and the size of the battery.
I think they're going to get that because, I mean, why would you make, you know, how are you going to make a device thinner and also fit more battery in it for LTE? You're going to stretch it out, which is what they've done with the 4-inch screen. So,
right. There's supposed to be a new lower power chip coming from Qualcomm, right? An LTE chip that's just coming in just in time for this.
Just in time, yeah.
Yeah, because you know, my brother here has got a Nexus, the Google Nexus, whatever it's called, and the battery life on that is ridiculous. It's like it's hours. I mean, like it's an like hour.
And you can bet that Apple's bought all of these new Qualcomm chips, and no one's going to be able to get their hands on them for who knows how long.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's not like it's going to matter because I've been researching LTE networks recently because I'm thinking about upgrading too, and there's literally no LTE networks in the U.S. I mean, I think it's even worse in Europe. I'm making a very broad statement, and I'm overemphasizing, but
literally,
yes,
absolutely,
there's like one tower.
No,
AT&T just added a couple.
Yeah, where?
I've been using Verizon LTE on my third-gen iPad, and I've used it in multiple states in places where you would think there would be no LTE, and there is LTE. So I don't know about AT&T, but
well, that's Verizon. A discussion I actually want to have next. But let me talk to you because we're moving this in this direction because I've been really super pissed about this whole situation. I'm going to rant a little bit, but before we do that, let me tell you something I'm not pissed about. Leander, have you heard of Discade 5, the iPhone, iPad, and iPhone transfer tool for PC and Mac? Did I say iPhone twice there?
Three times, I think.
I did? Yeah. Oh, let me tell you a little bit about it, because I bet you're really going to like it. It's software that you install on your Mac, and it does some really cool things I think that you as an Apple user need to know about, okay? Now, you probably already knew this, but your iPhone, your iDevice, is a lockdown system. Lockdown. But what Discade does is it lets you access your entire file system. You can go through your iPhone. You can download your entire call log, see who you've been calling. You could even download voicemail messages if you want. Maybe there's one you want to save from your BFF, your girlfriend, your mistress. And check this out. You can pull your music off of it. In fact, if you wanted to, with a click of a button, you could transfer your entire iTunes library, including all your metadata, all your songs, all your album art, everything to another computer. You could do it for your PC at work if you wanted to, because I know a lot of people listen to music when they're at work, but they don't have their iTunes collection at work. So how do you move your iTunes library easily? Discade 5. Mm. There are all sorts of amazing features, so many amazing things that you can do with Discade 5, like move your entire camera roll over to a new computer, which I'm sure is something you guys probably don't do very often, is it? Back up your camera roll. And I know a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, it's in the cloud. Well, you have the web versions in the cloud, but you don't have the full versions of your photos anywhere unless you're importing them somewhere. Discade 5 is amazing. Just try it out. Head on over to digidna.net. Click on the huge Discade 5 logo. And then all you need to do is download it. You can use a lot of its features for free. And if you want to buy it, you can actually get 30% off your order. Just enter the code thecultcast at checkout. You'll get 30% off. And we're giving away two free licenses like we always do. And if you want to win one of those, head over to facebook.com/thecultcast. Leave us a comment telling us why you deserve a Discade 5 license, and we'll be choosing two of you guys on Monday, and we'll be giving away two of those licenses. I want to thank DigiDNA.net for sponsoring the show. I really like the guys at DigiDNA.net. They are listeners of the show, and we love having their support. So thanks a lot, guys. Did somebody just cut out?
No.
Oh,
no.
Weird. It went totally silent while I was reading that.
We were people mesmerized.
Hanging on your, yeah, exactly. Hanging on your every word, Irfan. It's magical. Magical spot.
Let's move on. We were talking about LTE networks, and this is actually something I wanted to speak about with you guys because I've been really frustrated. So if you're with AT&T in the U.S., AT&T basically has hardly any LTE network anywhere, and you never know when they're going to bring it to your city. I think they're in like 52 cities right now. Verizon, like you said, Alex, is in a lot more. They're, I believe, in I think 360 something cities. Yeah. So if you want to use LTE, basically the only carrier that you can go with is Verizon, unless you're lucky enough to be in one of the cities that have it. I mean, does this frustrate you guys in the least? I mean, you're going to get, Leander, you're with AT&T, I know that, and you're probably going to get an LTE iPhone 5. Do you care that you can't use LTE in your city?
Well, can I not? I actually didn't research it, but
Leander's in San Francisco, so
yeah, I mean, naively, it would be here.
I don't think it is.
Like I'm in Kentucky.
AT&T has had a really hard time adding towers in San Francisco.
Well, I get these text messages every week. Hey, congratulations! We just upgraded a tower, over in the sunset where you never go.
I can't say this for sure, but in my research, I know Seattle is one of the cities where there is no LTE. At least with AT&T. I mean, in fact, the only LTE that's here is Verizon. And I think San Francisco is one of them too. But I mean, is that, I've been talking with people on Twitter about this, and a lot of people are like, I don't really care. It's going to get here eventually. For me, it's a huge feature. I mean, would you guys care if you were paying for an iPhone 5 in your city and LTE wasn't even available?
Here's the deal, Irfan. I would switch over to Verizon in a second when I buy my new iPhone. I would just buy it like off contract on Verizon, keep the AT&T iPhone I already have, and buy this new one. The problem is that I'm grandfathered with unlimited data on AT&T, and to me, that's more valuable than not having a larger LTE map. For a lot of people, if you do not, this is what I'm telling people, is if you are not grandfathered unlimited data on AT&T, now is the time to switch over to Verizon.
Yeah, that's actually what I was thinking of doing, and my wife especially.
If you use your unlimited data a lot and you like that comfort, which who knows, that could be going away by the time your next contract expires. But you know, AT&T is just, they're terrible, and they're going to charge for FaceTime over 3G. Verizon hasn't said, but Verizon probably will. But AT&T is always the first one to do this kind of stuff. And I've been really happy with Verizon on my iPad, my 4G iPad, and if I could, I would definitely switch over. Although, hey, there is one downside, I think. Because the iPhone's the world phone now. I was going to say, it used to be the downside was that Verizon was CDMA, so you didn't have that, the ability to, like my iPhone 4S is factory unlocked, so I can take it anywhere in the world because GSM is the global standard, and I can pop a SIM in, and it'll work.
pop a SIM in. I like the way that sounds.
But I don't know about Verizon, how that would work. I know you've traveled, Irfan, so maybe you'll know. And there's also the thing to think about is that the iPhone 5 is going to have this nano SIM that Apple is exclusively releasing first. Like no other phone has this type of a SIM. So that means you're not going to be able to just go over to some shop in the Caribbean right away and get a SIM to pop in because they don't exist really yet. They're not in circulation. So
okay, but let me bring up this point because everything you just said I totally agree with. And I was actually researching switching over to Verizon, which is what caused my Twitter rant about Verizon. Verizon has amazing LTE coverage. If you look at any map, I mean, they have it everywhere. They're so far ahead of the game. It's unbelievable that AT&T allowed themselves to become this far behind. But here's the thing. Verizon's new Share Everything plans are a total butt reaming. They are so expensive and ridiculous that I refuse.
It's the same, AT&T's the same way.
No, it's not. No, it's not. AT&T, you still have the option to have an individual plan. Verizon, you no longer have the option. You must buy a Share Everything plan. And guess what they include for quote-unquote free with every Share Everything plan? Unlimited texting. And by the way, they're charging you, I think it was $20 to $30, you know, for that plan extra that you would. So basically, your minimum.
Explain that. What did you say? You said
okay. Let me rephrase that, because that was a bad way of saying it. So with the Verizon Share Everything plan, you get unlimited data, and their plans, if you compare them to the AT&T plans as far as minutes and data go, are $20 to $30 a month more expensive. So when I was researching the plans, I would have to get I think it was a 2 gigabyte Share Everything plan. So they charge you for the data, and then they charge you per device to access that data, which is a slap in the face.
Yeah.
So the plan was $100 a month for a 2 gigabyte plan, and that doesn't include taxes, which you know are extremely expensive for cell phones, right? So you're looking at $115, $120 a month to own an iPhone. And I tweeted out, how does Verizon expect anyone to be able to afford to pay this much for a plan? My AT&T plan right now costs $80 a month. That includes taxes.
So this is an individual plan, right? On Verizon.
But you need to erase the thought, or you need to erase individual plans from your mind when it comes to Verizon. They no longer offer those. So Verizon's solution to, hey,
even
we're,
to, hold on,
we're losing,
even,
what?
Even to existing customers, they don't?
No. Well, yes, they do to existing customers, but
not to new ones.
But not to new ones. And plus, let's say you have an unlimited Verizon plan right now. Verizon has switched their contract. So if you do not buy an unsubsidized iPhone from them for full price, you are no longer allowed to keep your plan. They are forcing everyone into their new plans.
Well, if I bought an iPad back in March or whatever on Verizon, does that mm-hmm. that means I'm a pre-existing Verizon customer, so I wouldn't necessarily have to get that, would I?
I don't think that a prepaid account counts. Okay. I think that you have to be one of their subscription customers with an iPhone. I don't think an iPad counts either. So it's just these business practices. In fact, I was just telling you guys about this before the show. I've been so angry about this. I've been tweeting about it nonstop. And finally, Verizon support contacts me on Twitter. And they're like, what happened to our chances? You know, like, how can we help you? And I'm like, I don't even know what to say to them. I'm like, I feel like you're ripping people off. Because, you know, Apple gave us iMessage so that we wouldn't have to pay for these expensive text message plans. And, you know, what are carriers doing? They're including these text messaging plans and making you pay for them. Like Verizon, there is no option to not get a text messaging plan. They are forcing you to buy it. It's baked in, right? And you're like, I don't want it. They're like, well, then don't use it. You're still going to pay for it.
It's unlimited call and text, isn't it? Baked into these share everything plans.
I think that's correct. Yeah, and then they basically just charge you for data.
The carriers know that we're using data now. Like iMessage is data. Like everyone's using data more than they're using text and calling. So yeah, just why don't you go ahead and bake that in and then monetize on data, which is what they're doing. So that makes sense from their perspective. But the whole unlimited, baking in the text and the call thing, that doesn't outrage me, because the thing that outrages me is the way they charge per device. Like, here's a $20. Yes. And it's like, well, why are you doing that?
Because they want to put their hands in your pockets, dude.
So exactly. So when you said a total reaming, exactly how much per month was the difference between the two?
Companies? For me personally, it depends on what plan you're on, right? So if you are an individual who doesn't use a lot of text messages, this plan is going to be enormously more expensive for you. So like I said, their plan minimum was $100. My plan is $80. Their plan includes unlimited text messaging, which I do not care about in the slightest, nor do I need.
If you added that, it'll be another $20 on AT&T, and that would bring them kind of in line, right?
Yes, that's true. So
what's the difference in the family plans or the shared plans?
I can't speak accurately about those because it really depends on what you're doing.
Irfan has a point, though. It is tiered this way now. If you have a lot of devices on a plan, these Share Everything plans are beneficial to you. You may actually save money.
Yes, that is true.
But the problem is that all of this, people that are buying one line or even two lines, like Irfan and me, are not we're getting screwed. So yeah, at the top or at the top tier where you're getting more data for your, you know, where you're up in like the 5 gig plans and stuff, you are in the long run saving some bucks.
So definitely check it out, yeah. Leander. I mean, you can go on their website, go to Verizon's website, and check out their prices, and you can calculate how much it's going to cost. But the other part that just makes me mad is, like, to me it makes no sense. It's like, they're like, hey, you're going to pay for this data, and then we're going to pay you to access the data per device. I think it's $40 per smartphone, $30 per regular phone, $10 for a tablet, and $20 for a computer or a cellular or Wi-Fi device. Yeah. So it's like they're double dipping everywhere they go.
There is something you could do to get around it. If you're like someone like me, go in with a bunch of friends, get like five buddies and you know, make it a family plan and get one of the top, the biggest plans. And I think you will end up saving a little money in the long run.
Yeah, that's true. I can see how, like, you know, for me as well, I mean, we've got iPads, we've got phones, and I got a 500,000 kids, you know, on it.
He doesn't even know.
Yeah, because
I'm not even sure anymore.
We are paying a fortune on AT&T. At the moment. I mean, our bill is $260, I think, a month. So
wow.
You know, that sounds like it makes a lot of sense for me.
Yeah, it actually might. You know, it might work well for you. And, you know, I don't mean to pick on Verizon. I was just reading about AT&T and how they have these discounts worked out with different companies, right? So let's say you work for Facebook. You might be able to get like 20% off your bill. AT&T charges you a discount fee per line. So they're like, oh, you qualify for a discount? You have to pay us $36 to activate the discount. I'm like, this makes no sense anymore. Like, what are these people doing?
Well, these companies are all the same. I don't know why, you know, people make choices over one over the other. I mean, I really don't think that they're any different.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with our government regulations. I mean, you go, like I said, you go to Austria, and I was talking about this on Twitter. You can pay €30 for an unlimited data plan that includes tethering, unlimited text messaging, unlimited. I shouldn't say unlimited minutes. I think you do get like a substantial amount of minutes, but it's not unlimited. And then you can roam in other countries for free. It's insane. And then I look at our data plans and I'm like, I'm just like, WTF, guys. WTF. That's the end of my rant. I'm sorry. I could keep going, but this kind of stuff really makes me mad because I feel like we're getting screwed. You know, as our data usage goes up, we have these carriers ratcheting down on our data.
Yeah, yeah, right. Well, that's true. That's very true. Yeah, exactly. As the data needs grow, they get more stingy with it.
Exactly, exactly. Like, I feel like compared to maybe 5 years ago, our data usage has gone down and our price, or our data availability has gone down and our prices have gone up. And I'm like, this is totally backwards. Something needs to change. But anyway, let's move on to our last iPhone topic. And then I want to do faves and raves. And I don't want to talk about this other thing too long. But do you guys know of any good ways to keep your unlimited data plans? Because people on our Facebook page, facebook.com/theCultcast, by the way, have been asking us. They're like, well, hey, you know, how do I keep my unlimited data plan if I already have one? You guys have any good tips, Alex?
Don't do anything.
No, well, literally. That's not true with Verizon, though.
No, I mean, really, that's like if you make any changes to your plan at all, or you're thinking about making changes to your plan, whether it's AT&T or Verizon and you're grandfathered unlimited, I always do this. Ask the rep, say, does this affect my existing unlimited plan in any way? Even if it's something small, if you're adding insurance, whatever it is, because there's so many type of loopholes these carriers will use to get you out of something they want to get you out of. So, as long as you keep things the way they are, nothing should change unless the carriers decide to just be, you know, total, you know, what, and just remove it manually. But before you make any changes at all to a plan, make sure it's not going to affect what you have. That's all you can do. I mean,
well, for new customers, I've been doing some research. Like I said, you can go to Sprint. Sprint still has an unlimited data plan with no throttling. So there's an option for you. And here's another great option. If you live in an area where you can get Virgin prepaid, they have, this is insane, they have an unlimited data plan that gets throttled at 2.5 gigabytes. But that's just pretty much like AT&T, right? I think it's unlimited text messaging and 300 minutes for $30 a month. $30. And for that same plan with AT&T, you'd be paying an arm, a leg and possibly some of your genitalia. So, I mean, prepaid is a great way to go if you live in an area where you qualify for that. And other than that, you know, stick with what you got. And do note that with Verizon and very well maybe with AT&T, if you don't pay full price for an iPhone, at least that this is the way it is with Verizon right now, you will not be able to keep your unlimited data plan. They will move you, or you'll need to pick something else. So get ready.
That's not the case with AT&T, but it is with Verizon.
It's not. It is with Verizon, and I expect it to be the case with AT&T, but who knows. But anyways, that's our plan for keeping your unlimited data plan. Hey, guys, it's time for faves and raves. And I want to play you guys. You know, I normally sing our intro, right? And I think some of our listeners got tired of me doing that. So our listener,
to imagine.
Jamie, our listener, Jamie Gilder, sent this in for us.
Faves and raves and faves and raves and faves.
Isn't that great? Thank you,
that's
Jamie.
Awesome.
He's at JuiceJamie on Twitter. We've been going back and forth working on that for... I don't know, a little while, maybe a week or two. And I was supposed to play it last time, but I've been having technical problems, so I wasn't able to play it. But it sounds great, so thank you for making
awesome.
That for
yeah,
us,
yeah,
Jamie.
Yeah, thanks,
Jamie. If you guys want to make some jingles for us, you want to send us some fan art, email me, airfon@cultamac.com. I'd love to get that stuff from you guys. Let's do faves and raves, guys. This is, of course, the game where we pitch our favorite gear or apps and then vote on which one's best. You know, Alex... I really like what you had to say this show. You did a really good job. I'm going to let you go first. Mm. Why don't you tell us about your favorite item of the week?
Okay. I didn't want to go first because I
wanted
to
Okay, Leander, you go first.
Oh, really? What? You're doing a buster, huh?
Where
you
yeah.
You want to bring out the big guns. Well, I got one. You know, you're not going to beat mine because I found a really awesome app.
Wow. Okay.
It's called E24.
Yeah.
It's actually a website with an app. It's a... It's for ordering delivery food, and really easy to use. Like, you know, I used to get delivery food, but I'd always have to go hunting for the menu, and then I'd have to go find the phone number of the restaurant. And, you know, sometimes you can find the menus online, sometimes you couldn't. This has it all inside the app, and it's really easy shopping. You know, there's a scroll of all the different items. You just tap something to add it to the order. Place the order, put your credit card in, it saves your credit card, you know, for next time, so you only have to do it once. And the food shows up, you know, 30 minutes later. Didn't have to phone anybody up, didn't have to look for any numbers, found the app extremely easy to use, and it sort of gets rid of that headache of, you know, phoning the restaurant and trying to put your order in over the phone. It made it really, really easy, and I was really delighted about it.
What's it called?
Eat24.
Oh, Eat24, okay. Cool.
EAT24, all one right. word.
And you're saying plus?
Well, I was going to say plus. You know, like.
I'm waiting for a point here, Leander.
I actually realized the point I was going to make didn't make any sense at all. So okay. I don't know, I won't make that point.
Okay.
I will keep that one private. But yeah, keep that, Alex.
Alex, are you ready? Or
yes.
Do you want me to go?
I don't care. Mine's probably not
going to
win.
Okay, go.
Well, as you know, the iTunes Festival is going on right now.
I actually did not know that.
Okay. It's going on in London next to Leander's homestead.
Tally-ho.
And they've got a lot of great artists are there, and they're doing, you know, a lot of performances each day. And Apple has a sweet iOS and Apple TV app.
Huh.
Called iTunes Festival, and it's unreal. I had no clue it was this easy. It's literally just HD streams of every single show for free, and you can just watch it, pick it up whenever you want. So they've got it on the web too in iTunes, but this shows me that Apple's really getting into the content game, and this is kind of, imagine this on a larger scale. You know, they're negotiating with these artists, and these artists must love it because there's no middleman. You know, I can go and queue up a show from like 3 days ago and watch the whole thing 2 hours long in HD with no commercials on my Apple TV or on my iPad or on my iPhone, and they're doing live streaming too. So it'll tell you while you're watching the video, okay, this artist just came on the stage. Would you like to watch this? And it's great. I mean, it's fantastic. I've been watching some good peeps, some Ed Sheeran, some Usher.
Usher.
Like that.
You admit that on our show. Wow.
I was gonna say, that's awesome.
You know we're gonna upload this to iTunes, right?
I mean, you know, you never know when I'm being sarcastic. That's my plan there. But the app is, I'm not being sarcastic when I say the app is great. It's really well designed, and I really hope Apple can do more stuff like this with broadcasting, because it's a great breath of fresh air to be able to
BBC was doing something similar during the Olympics, right, with the iPlayer. Right. You could get, 24 simultaneous streams of all kinds of sports. And yeah. I mean, that's the way events should be broadcast. I mean, instead of watching synchronized swimming and beach volleyball, they put on the network shows. I mean, go and choose what you want to watch.
I mean, we're talking like just classics, like One Direction, Jesse J.
It keeps getting better.
Alicia One Direction. If I could assassinate, you know, five people.
Hey, you know what? Your kids are going to be happy.
That's why I know about it. I know what I'm speak of. I have to suffer this next to my 16-year-old daughter.
Well, yeah. What was the name of your app again, Alex?
It's called iTunes Festival.
Festival. Gotcha. Well, I just gotta say, listen to your guys' picks. Mine is definitely gonna win. I have been reviewing some great products recently, and I got this one device that I think I saw last year at CES. And when I saw it, I was like, "That thing's awesome." You guys might think this is silly. It's called the iShower.
Oh my God.
Bear with me. So I listen to podcasts and music in my shower all the time when I'm showering, right? Rub-a-dub-dub. But my problem is that I bring my iPhone into the bathroom or my iPad into the bathroom. And, you know, with the little speakers.
But a rub-a-dub-dub? What?
I said rub-a-dub-dub. Isn't that what you say when you're bathing? No, it's just me.
In England, it has another meaning.
Oh, does it really? Well, hey, I meant it that way too. I don't even know what that meaning
was. I was going to say it out loud, but I won't.
Okay, yeah, let's keep that one a secret. So basically, what the iShower lets you do is you can stream Bluetooth audio from up to five different devices to the iShower. The iShower is a waterproof speaker. You hang it in your shower. It even comes with a little mounting bracket. You can control your iPhone or iPad. So if you're listening to NPR like I do in the shower, you can actually hear the audio because the speaker's in the shower with you, and you can still control your iPhone. I have been wanting something like this for years. And it works really well. I just got it, so I just started testing it. But so far, it works really well. I think it's $80. It might be $100. But
are we gonna have pictures with your review? Because I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, and guess what? I'm gonna be naked in those pictures with it.
That's
only a groin area. Oh, great.
I'm gonna have a shower cap on, and my chest hair will be nicely lathered.
In fact,
I may not even take any pictures of the eye shower. It's just going to be me. But anyway, one of my favorite gadgets that I've used in the last 12 months, it just solves a major, major problem for me because I can never hear my music before. You always had to, like, you know, keep your iPhone on like the sink or something. Brilliant little device. Let's vote. Leander, why don't you go first? Which one sounds best? Rub dub dub.
You know, I'm really divided between them. I think I gotta go for the iTunes Festival because I'm looking at the lineup here. There's actually some pretty good names. You know, like I can take a 5-minute shower without listening to
music. Dude, rub a dub dub.
I just crank up Led Zeppelin really loud on my one in the bedroom. So
I don't have that luxury.
iTunes Festival, so it looks really cool.
Damn. Okay, Alex.
I guess I'll do your shower thing.
Yes.
Hey, who's the tiebreaker?
Oh gosh, we didn't pick a tiebreaker, did we? Okay, I'm gonna flip. Alex, heads or tails?
Tails.
Heads.
Okay, Leander's the tiebreaker.
What?
You're the tiebreaker. You gotta vote for one more. You get one more vote. You can put it on Alex's crappy app, or you can vote for mine.
I go for the app.
Oh, dude. I should make a new rule. The tie-breaking vote always goes to Airfun. Yeah, I guess you're kind of biased on this. This is an English iTunes Festival app.
Yeah, yeah.
How did I ever expect to win to that? So iTunes Festival.
Better luck next week, Irfan.
All right. Well, whatever. I'll be listening to my shower. You guys can picture me totally barren in my shower listening
Rubber
to
dub dubbing in the
listening to what was that band? One Direction. All right. Well, hey, we're out of time, guys. I want to thank DigiDNA.net for sponsoring the show. Check them out, DigiDNA.net. And make sure to leave a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast, to win your Discgate 5 license. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so. We have great conversations there. In fact, Leander sent out a tweet this week, which we were all very excited about. And then we all started out-replying you, Leander, and you didn't reply to any of them, I don't think.
I don't know what to say, though. I tried to get my daughter to take up my Twitter stream. I was like, here, I'll pay you, you know, $5 a week or something, and you just have to tweet for me. Just make it up, you know? Just sort of pretend you're me and take
you're
it
up. You're like, man, Leander really tweets about a lot of boys.
Yeah, no, it won't work, Calvin. Kind of thing.
Well, anyway, Leander is L. Caney, K-A-H-N-E-Y. Alex is Alex E. Heath. I'm Irfan, E-R-F-O-N. And, of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos, you can always follow Cult of Mac on Twitter. This has been The CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of The CultCast come out every Thursday night. Thanks for listening, guys. We will catch you next time. Ooh, Lord Jones is playing. I know you're a big fan.
Oh, Jones, are you kidding?
Muse? Oh, Muse.
That's horrible.
Love you.
That shower thing sounds pretty cool.
Dude, it's awesome. I mean, you didn't vote for it. What do you mean it sounds cool? Why didn't you vote for me?
I don't know. Shower time for me is like, you know, we've only got one bathroom. There's six of us. It's always like an ordeal for me. There's always like people coming in and out. My son takes a big stinky dump when I'm in there. And it's like, I just want to get out of the bathroom as quick as possible.
I can't imagine myself
standing under the hot shower listening to some tunes, NPR.
So your son comes in there and takes a crap while you're showering.
Yeah.
And it mixes with the steam and stuff. Oh my gosh. And it mixes with the steam and everything. That's terrible.
And my wife always stands there and wants to talk to me while I'm, you know, trying to. You know, so I can't, like, the idea of a luxurious hot shower while listening to some, you know, chamber music or something like that just isn't a reality in my house.
Wow, yeah. You know, I never thought about that with you. No wonder you got to get in and out of there. You got six people using one shower. That is crazy. Mm-hmm. So you probably have, like, 2 minutes max, right? You got to be in and out.
Yeah, and then, the water heater is only tiny, so it's like... Actually, that's not the water heater ain't too bad, but it used to be. Yeah, and then every time someone turned on a tap, right, that thing would go boiling hot, flush the toilet. Wow. That was really bad because then it would be like last about 40 minutes. The pipe would just be so bad. That was really an ordeal. In fact, I used to have to go around and like make sure that nobody was going to turn on a tap before you get in the shower. That was the whole ritual.
It would scald you.
Yeah, because then you come out with third-degree burns. Plan B is playing on the iTunes Festival. He had a couple of great songs.
Plan B.
So, some English rapper, which I know sounds completely pathetic.
I like a lot of English hip hop. I like listening to British guys rap. I don't know why.
He's very soulful. Yeah, he has some, and a couple of songs were great, really, really great.
I hope we get some good music performances at this year's CES. I'm really hopeful.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, I saw oh my goodness me, what's his name?
Rafael Sadiq.
Yeah, you were there.
I was there with you.
Yeah, that was extraordinary.
It was really good. And we got all those free drink tickets. I didn't remember how we got them. I think I was walking around scamming them off people.
You got them off someone, did you get them off the bouncer or somebody who was...
I got some off the bouncer and then I feel like that well dried up. And then I don't remember what I was doing, but I was walking around.
Oh my God, that was when...
We had extras when we left. I ended up giving them away because I was like, we can't drink all this.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God. When does that ever happen?
Yeah, especially a lot of parties these days, they ratchet down big time on drinks.
Right, yeah.
In fact, I was just at this party the other day for PAX. And we actually just talked about this with a friend on a different podcast. It was the worst party I've ever been to. I mean, this party was awful. They were barely giving out any drink tickets. They had zero food. They had this ridiculous VIP area that had like 10 people in it, but they had their own bar and like a freaking buffet of food.
But the VIP area that you were excluded from?
Yeah, I wasn't in the VIP area because I don't. What's that?
Standing there with your nose pressed against the window and this little stand. Look at
that. There was no window. It was like if we were standing in a room together, a square room, and I roped off like an eighth of it in the corner, and I stood behind the rope with my bar and my drink, and you're like starving. It was terrible.
Just can't reach over. Yeah.
Well, we tried. They had so much food and drink on the VIP area that wasn't being used because they hardly had anyone in there, that the food people started coming out to the VIP area to give it to us peasants. And we get in. First of all, the party's supposed to start at 9. They didn't let us in until 10:30. So we were waiting in line for an hour and a half without apology. But they had a cop, like a legitimate police officer, guarding the stupid VIP area. And the lady came out with food to give us some food. And she hands us the tray, and the cop goes, "Whoa!" and puts his arms up in the air, and he's like, "You guys aren't VIP." And we're like, "Dude, we're not even in the VIP area." And this lady came to offer us the food. He's like, "You guys need to back away." I'm like, practically pulling out his pepper spray, right? By the way, he had a gun on him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, "You got to be kidding me. Like, this is ridiculous." Like, we just took a cheese puff, you know? there's no reason why you need to be that aggressive with us, you know?
Yeah, that's peculiar. That's really weird. I thought the cop was going to, like, start scarfing them all in front of you, but...
Well, here's the weirdest part, and I'll end with this. So we finally get our drink tickets, right? They give us two each, and the freaking bar line is like 30 minutes long. I'm not even exaggerating. Meanwhile, all the VIPs are just like walking up, grabbing their drinks and leaving. And they finally decide to bring out some more food. Up until this point, they had just two bowls of chips out. And finally, they start bringing out more food. So I grab this little plate of like teriyaki meat sticks, right? And so do my friends. And we're standing at like this table, you know, like the ones that are like the stand tables that you stand around, that you can set your drinks down and stuff. And I have my food on the table. I'm kind of munching on it. And then my friend kind of half finishes her food and leaves it there. And I didn't really think anything of it. I was like, "Oh, she's probably done." So I see these guys start making their way from table to table, and they finally make it to our table. And out of the corner of my eye, I see this guy start munching the food off her plate. And I was like, this is kind of weird, right? Like, these guys are eating food off people's plates. Like, they're like scavengers.
Oh my God. It was that desperate.
So
that's like post-apocalyptic. Hold on,
it gets better. So I'm eyeballing this guy, and I see him kind of glance at my food, and I'm like, "Dude, this guy, he's like trying to like grab my food." So I kind of turn away from him a little bit, and as soon as I turn my shoulder away, I see his arm reach out. He puts his hand on my plate, grabs a meat stick, dips it in some of the sauce, right? And I turn around, and he freezes. And I point at him, and I go, "Not cool, dude. No." And he, like a shamed dog, he puts the meat stick back down on my plate and slowly backs away. And I was my friends were like, "Did that guy just try to steal food off your plate?" And I'm like, this has officially become the worst party I have ever been to in my life. Like, people are so hungry that yes, they are walking around stealing food from each other.
Oh my God, it's like being in a prison or something. Right? I can't believe it. Really, he stole food off your plate?
Well, he tried to. I stopped him. I was like, "Hell no."
Did you pick it up and start slowly eating it while you were looking at him?
I ate every morsel on that plate. You know, if he had just asked me, if he was like, "Hey, man, I'm really hungry. Can you give me one of your meat sticks?" I'm like, "Sure, bro. Eat away." But because he tried to steal it, it's like you had just caught a dog pooping in the middle of your living room.
Yeah, I've never heard of such a thing. Oh, my God. I mean, I've done that when I was a teenager, when I was, you know, in my late teens. Hitchhiking around the country, we were so hungry. We used to sit in cafes and wait until people had finished eating and then go eat what was left on their plate. But at a party for an app developer.
Yeah, this guy wasn't a homeless vagabond like you were.
Totally weird.
He must have been high or something, but that was the highlight of my entire convention experience. I'm gonna totally do that to you at CES. You're gonna turn away from me, and all of a sudden your food's gonna be gone on your plate, and I'll be like, gotcha.
all right, let's even get away with it. I'm gonna be
playing, so dude, a few drinks, you'll never even notice. Of course, at CES it doesn't matter because they have like 80 buffets, right? It's like it's like you can just be like, oh, I'll go get more.
Yeah, you gotta be crazy to steal that food, horrible food. Anyway,
I'm gonna try and steal.
No, that's not true. That's the stuff at the thingamajig was really good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was by far better than PAX. I'm gonna see if I can find Walt Mossberg and steal the food off his plate. Wouldn't that be funny? As I secretly steal food off Walt Mossberg's plate.
All right, let's try and do that. See, that's funny.